You're listening to Speak Up Arkansas with Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. The State General Assembly is currently considering SJR3, a resolution that calls for an Article 5 convention that will allow delegates to propose amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Today we are joined by Josh Silverstein, professor at UA Bowen School of Law, to talk about what an Article 5 convention is and how it could potentially play out if it occurred. Thank you for joining us today. Josh, do you want to give a little bit of background on yourself before we get started with the questions?
Sure. As you said, I'm a law professor at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock's William H. Bowen School of Law. And I teach mostly business law classes, but I also teach a legal philosophy class that covers constitutional law, and that's where my knowledge of the Constitutional Convention idea comes from.
Okay, so just to get started, basic question, or not so basic, what is an Article 5 convention?
So Article 5 of the Constitution is the article about how we change the United States Constitution. And there are two different procedures that Article 5 creates. The first option is for both houses of Congress, meaning the House of Representatives and the Senate, to pass an amendment by two-thirds. Any amendment that passes both houses of Congress by two-thirds then gets referred to the states, and the states have to approve the amendment by three-quarters. Three-quarters of the states have to approve before the amendment becomes part of the Constitution. Now, that process works somewhat similar to the way legislation works. Congress considers it, but then there's an extra step of the states have to approve. The second process in Article 5 is the Constitutional Convention process. And that's where, if two-thirds of the states decide we need to have a convention, then this convention will begin. There will be delegates from all of the states, and they can propose constitutional amendments as an alternative to Congress. Now, anything that comes successfully out of that convention still has to be approved by three-quarters of the states. So you can't amend the U.S. Constitution without three-quarters of the states approving, whether the amendment started in Congress or in a constitutional convention.
And speaking about the term constitutional convention, I've heard people supporting the bill say it's not a constitutional convention, it's an amendments convention. Is that just...
So the language of the Constitution says it is a convention to propose amendments. Now, constitutional convention, the phrase has two different meanings. It can mean something narrow, like only a convention to write a new constitution. For example, my home state of Illinois called a convention in 1970 to write a new constitution for the state of Illinois. But the term convention also has a broader meaning, where it includes both a convention to write a new constitution and a convention to simply propose amendments. So it depends on whether you're using the phrase in a broad way or a narrow way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a second reason why the label constitutional convention is fair. The original constitutional convention in 1787 was proposed to bring about amendments to the Articles of Confederation, which was our original governing document in the United States before the Constitution. Well, that convention morphed from one proposing amendments to the Articles of Confederation into a convention to propose a brand new constitution. And that's one of the concerns many people have with a constitutional convention like this. It could be what is colloquially called a runaway convention,
mm-hmm.
where the purpose is one thing and it expands dramatically into something else.
Well, that's my next question. I mean, what are the rules to regulate how a Article 5 amendments, constitutional, whatever, convention would occur?
No one knows.
Okay.
The Constitution does not specify the procedures for the convention. So there are those who've argued that since the resolutions currently being debated in Arkansas and other states purport, meaning allege, to limit the convention to a certain narrow set of issues,
mm-hmm.
namely the federal budget, federal jurisdiction, narrow issues of federal power, some believe that the convention itself could be limited to the issues that SJR,
SJR3
are proposing. So it's possible the convention could be limited to the subjects in the resolution. The problem is nothing in the Constitution provides that the convention needs to be that limited. And so one of the concerns that many opponents have is that the convention will lead to all sorts of amendments that go beyond the scope that could be much more problematic.
And this may be getting into the weeds, but I mean, in terms of how the rules are decided, I mean, is it even clear that the states versus the federal government gets to decide those rules?
So, because Congress does have a role to play in calling the convention after two-thirds of states approve it, there is an argument that the federal government has a role to play in writing the rules. So no one knows.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, this is one of the uncertainties about how a convention would operate. Would it be the states? Would it be Congress? Would it be a mix? It's that kind of uncertainty that leads large numbers of people to not want the convention.
Mm-hmm. And is there any similar conventions besides the original Constitutional Convention that's happened like this?
No. There have been other conventions where independent groups got together to propose making changes to the U.S. Constitution. I actually have a book here that is a history of alternative constitutions that various groups and organizations proposed throughout U.S. history. But the Article 5 Convention, a convention with some legal authority,
mm-hmm.
has never happened in our country's history.
And I guess along those same lines, let's say two-thirds of states do call for a constitutional convention and 13 specify that it can only be for X, Y, and Z, and another set says A, B, C. Is the convention still called, or is it, do all of those A, B, C, X, Y, Z have to line up?
Your guess is as good as mine. So there are two different ways to read the language in the Constitution. You can read the language generally, such that once two-thirds of the states call for a convention, regardless of what issues they want to talk about at the convention, Congress is obligated to call the convention.
Mm-hmm.
You can also argue that the specific resolutions passed in each state have to be the same. Once again, no one knows. And it's possible that that issue would have to be litigated in the courts.
And another thing that I've heard about in terms of limiting the scope is around the delegates themselves and the authority that the delegates have. And I've heard that under laws regarding agents, that any delegates that are sent to this convention would be subject to current laws with agents. And so they couldn't go out of the scope of what their specific legislature asked them to do.
That is plausible, but there is certainly no firm legal basis for that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
The language of the Constitution is sufficiently broad that it could be read that the agents are not restricted by any type of state constitutional, statutory, or other provision. So it would be nice if the delegates could be limited in that way. But I have no confidence that the Constitution is got language that guarantees that type of limit on the authority of the agents, of the representatives of the state.
And that leads to another question. Who are the delegates representing? Are they representing the people of the state? Are they representing the state legislature? Who are they potentially accountable to?
Once again, we don't know. That's one of the concerns. So one possibility is that the delegates would propose amendments, and the amendments have to be approved by the state legislatures, which is the normal way we do things when we amend the Constitution. But what if the delegates propose that citizen assemblies will approve of the amendments, or they have to be approved by direct democracy, meaning the whole state votes? It's not clear whether the convention itself could change the procedures the states would have to use in approving three quarters. So that's another one of the many uncertainties the convention creates.
Another one is who would select the delegates, how the delegates would be selected.
That's another issue, who would select the delegates. Yes.
Another assumption I think that is out laid out in the SJR3 is that one state, one vote within the Constitutional Convention or the Amendments Convention. Is that?
So my understanding of the language in the Constitution, I think the better reading is that the convention itself could decide how to approve the amendments. That the two-thirds requirement is the requirement to begin the convention. But once again, because of the ambiguities in the language of the Constitution, it's not clear how approvals would go within the convention.
So I mean, it seems like there's just a drastic amount of unknowns about this. I mean, what are the arguments that would support the calling of such a convention?
So the single strongest argument for proposing a constitutional convention is that the United States Constitution is more difficult to amend than pretty much any other constitution in the world. The U.S. Constitution was essentially the first constitution of its kind. And there are those who believe, quite plausibly, that if the framers made one mistake, the mistake they made is they made our constitution too difficult to amend. And since the U.S. Constitution, states that have rewritten their constitutions have made them much easier to amend. For example, in Arkansas, all it takes is a majority vote of the people. Sometimes there are some other processes too, but the main way it's amended is through a majority vote of the people. In other countries, constitutions are generally much easier to amend than the U.S. Constitution. So, given how difficult it is to amend the U.S. Constitution, if we ignore the Bill of Rights, which happened right after the founding, our Constitution has only been amended 17 times in 200 years, over 200 years now. It's 225. That's not a lot. The world has changed a tremendous amount. And so there are those who believe it needs to be easier to amend a Constitution as the world changes. Given that, and given how difficult it has been to do any major amendment in the last 50 years, some believe a constitutional convention is the only option to try to get some amendments passed. And so I think that's the strongest argument, that there are those who reasonably believe we need changes to the Constitution, and it's becoming clearer and clearer that a convention may be the only way to make those changes.
And I think the loudest, most strong argument on the opposing it is this idea of having a runaway convention, and we don't know the rules, and any sorts of amendments could be passed. And it sounds like that's also plausible.
Yes, that is the greatest concern. I think that was an excellent summary. So I'm of the view that despite how difficult it is to amend our Constitution is probably still the best constitution in the world. It has been incredibly successful. And I don't really like the idea of monkeying around with it, to use a very generic word, without a really compelling reason. And I'll offer you one example. So I'm a liberal, and the recent Supreme Court decision that liberals hate the most is the case Citizens United, which expanded the rights of corporations to spend money in elections. I do not support even a single amendment, one individual amendment, to try and overturn the First Amendment aspects of the Citizens United case. because every draft amendment I've seen is creates such a danger that free speech rights would be restricted well beyond corporations. So even something as troubling to most liberals as Citizens United, I would not try to overturn it by making any change to the First Amendment. There are some other ways we might be able to change the Constitution to address that case, but I don't support anything that would tinker with the First Amendment. Given that, and given that I don't even think Citizens United was as bad as many people with similar ideologies to me, I'm really hesitant to change the Constitution at any point in time. It has really been an incredibly successful document. Despite our current political polarization, we're not nearly as polarized as we were through much of our history before World War II. The federal government's debt, which many of the supporters of the convention worry about, is still not that high by many standards, though I think we all agree it should be lower. So I just don't think it's worth the risk to have a convention.
And if you are concerned about the power of corporations, wouldn't a constitutional convention be disconcerting them? Because it's also possibly, I mean, it's plausible that they would be lobbying the delegates.
I think that's another fair concern. I hadn't even considered that as a possibility, but I think that is another fair concern. It's not at all clear that any of our campaign finance laws and any of our other election laws that place limits on behavior during elections and the creation of legislation, that any of those rules would apply in the convention. So it is quite possible that corporations, political organizations like political parties and lobbying groups, there are all sorts of other parties that could have real influence there. So yeah, that's another fair concern.
And in the text of SJR3, when it is trying to limit what the convention would be about, it says, for the calling of a convention of the United States limited to proposing amendments to the United States Constitution that impose fiscal restraints on the federal government, limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, and limit the terms of office for its officials and members of the United States Congress. That, even though it's supposed to be limiting, sounds fairly broad.
It is fairly broad, and I just don't think we know whether the convention can be limited in scope to that extent.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know. So some of those issues listed are very important, and I understand why people on both sides of the aisle have concerns about those issues. But there's just no strong legal argument that the convention can be that limited.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make one other correction about something I said earlier. According to the language of Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, Congress, among the roles they have, shall determine whether the amendments that come out of the convention are approved by 3/4 of the legislatures or by 3/4 of conventions within the state. So given that Congress has a role in deciding how the amendments will be approved, that suggests that Congress probably doesn't have much of a role to play in the rest of the structure of the convention. But again, you can argue it either way. So there's so much uncertainty with the language here. And I think that's one of the reasons why no convention has ever come close to getting the votes necessary to be adopted or begun.
Well, it sounds very complicated, and it sounds like if we do have enough states vote for it, there's still a lot that has to be decided, and figuring out who's supposed to decide that too. Do you have any final thoughts about the Constitutional Convention and the implications it might have?
So I have two additional thoughts. First, if we were to have a Constitutional Convention, I think the only thing I would want to do in that convention is make the U.S. Constitution easier to amend. I think that it is too difficult to amend the U.S. Constitution. And so I think if a convention could serve any purpose, if we could limit it in scope, it would be to change the rules for how we amend the Constitution. For example, right now, to do a standard amendment outside of the convention structure, you need 2/3 of Congress and 3/4 of the states. We might consider lowering that to 60% of Congress and only 2/3 of the states. Mm-hmm. And that way, after the convention's over, moving forward, our Constitution would be more in alignment with the amendment process of other countries. We could also make it 60-60, meaning 60% of Congress and 60% of the states. A Constitution is supposed to be a supermajoritarian document. That's one of the problems with how we amend the Constitution in Arkansas. It should always be a supermajority, something like 55, 60, even 75% to amend. But the U.S. Constitution requires two supermajorities, the 2/3 in Congress, the 3/4 in the states. I think that's too much. Most legal scholars and political scientists think it's too much. So if the convention could do one good thing, it could make it easier to amend our Constitution. With that said, I still oppose a convention. I still don't think it's worth it. And that gets to the second point I want to reiterate, which is that whatever frustration we have with our system, I don't think a convention is worth the risk. I understand some other people disagree, but I don't think a convention is worth it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it. And we will be back talking about a different issue in just a moment.